16 years ago tomorrow, the world changed as we knew it. You see, 16 years ago tomorrow is 9/11. A day that marked history and a day that changed a lot of things. The day that changed not just the way we travel, but the way we think. The way we were impacted on our homeland like never before. And at that moment, what we were able to see is what we associate with courage. At that moment when things began to unfold, many people, first responders and police officers and just different groups of people, nurses and doctors, they stopped what they were doing and they went and immediately did what they could to try and save a life. They did what they could to try and rescue someone. And when we stop and look, it started unfolding just minutes after it began to take place. But for weeks after that, people from all over the country began to flood to a place. And they were being courageous. They were making a choice to go ahead and let something that was already on the inside of them be demonstrated on the outside. Over the past couple of weeks, we've seen hurricanes unfold and things take place in different parts of our country and around the world where people have made the choice to go ahead and be courageous, where they've made the choice to help someone out in need. You see, 16 years ago tomorrow, there was a tremendous need for people to be courageous, and this past week and this very day, there's a need for people to be courageous. I shared just a moment ago that Pastor Falwell was down on a surprise trip for his 25th wedding anniversary, and it was a real surprise. Didn't turn out a thing at all like he planned. And he's heading back there this afternoon. He's speaking this morning in Lynchburg, Virginia, and heading back to that very place to minister to the people that were workers and helpers trying to go ahead and make a difference for his family and the families that were there. That's an act of courage. When we think of 9/11 and when we think of people going in and helping in a situation of a hurricane or a hurricane or an earthquake or whatever it might be, we think, man, that's not my life. That's not something that I could do. Well, one of the things that we've talked about is this. Being courageous is that moment and that decision where we take something that's on the inside of us, that's already there, and we just begin to let it make a difference. You see, sometimes we think we could never be courageous because we think we're not in a position to do something that we associate with being courageous. We think that we could never be courageous because we don't have a talent or we don't have what someone needs in order for us to be courageous. But over the past several weeks, what we've said is this: sometimes being courageous is just listening to the voice of God and being willing to arise and go and then leave the consequences to Him. We've said being courageous is being willing to do the right thing even when no one else would know if you did the right thing or the wrong thing. And today we wrap up this series, Be Courageous, with the concept of Joshua coming to his farewell moment, his last words to a group that he's led and cared for. And at about the age of 110, Joshua steps forward and he addresses a group of people, and here's what he tells them. He says, if I could just leave you with one word on how to go ahead and be courageous, it would be this. It would just be this thought: to go ahead and choose boldly. You see, on that day of 9/11, many people chose boldly and they ran in and they demonstrated acts of courage. Over the past couple of weeks, through the hurricanes and through the earthquakes and the different things that have taken place around the world, people have made some bold choices. But here's what Joshua says. Joshua says this. Joshua says that in order for you to be courageous, in order for me to be courageous, it's not that unique moment necessarily that we need to make a bold choice for. It's the everyday moments of life that we need to decide, you know what? I'm going to be bold, I'm going to make the choice, and I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to do what God is asking me to do. I'm going to go ahead and do something to make a difference in what others might call this ordinary moment. Some of us are here today and we feel like our life's ordinary, and how could we really be all that courageous? How could we make a bold choice? How could we do something that truly matters? Well, Joshua, at 110, lays out four things that help us make bold choices, that help us to be courageous. Let's take a look at what Joshua has to say in Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 14. You find that. It's going to go ahead and show up on the screen. But I want to read Joshua chapter 1 first. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 6, here's what the Lord tells Joshua as they're having this conversation. He starts off and he says, look, Joshua, I just want you to know that Moses has passed on, and it's your time to lead. And here's what I need you to do. He says, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. He says, be strong, be courageous, because you know what? You remember that promise? It's about to go ahead and happen. He says, only be strong and very courageous. He tells Joshua again, I want you to be strong. I want you to be very courageous. There's going to be some tough times. There's going to be some difficult times. But you've got to listen to my voice. You've got to be willing to go where I send you. And you've got to be willing to trust that I will take care of everything. He says, be very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all that the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Then he says this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And in verse number 9, he comes back to these words again. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Don't be paralyzed by fear. Don't let fear keep you from doing what's right. Don't let fear keep you from doing what I'm encouraging you to do. He says, remember that I'm going to be with you wherever you go. So Joshua begins to lead the people. Joshua crosses the Jordan with hundreds of thousands of people at flood stage. Joshua goes ahead and leads them into battle, and they come in and they take this land, and everything is great. It's not without challenge, because Joshua is going to go ahead and find out that he needed to be courageous. He's going to find out that sometimes life is difficult, and sometimes life is not always easy, and sometimes everybody is not really supportive of you being courageous and doing what God is instructing you to do or leading you to do. That's what Joshua is going to find out. But at the end of everything, Joshua takes those words, be courageous, he lives by them, and as he comes down to his closing comments in Joshua chapter 24, verse number 14, here's what he says. He says, I want to give you some words of advice for your life. He says, I'm 110, but some of you are 15, some of you are 20, some of you are 60, some of you are just progressing through life, and you're good. He says, I'm in my twilight moment, okay? This is my farewell moment, so please just go ahead and listen. Here's what he says. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. He says, serve the Lord. He says, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day. He says, this day, go ahead and choose who you're going to serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But here's what he says. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Joshua stands before him and he says, you want to know the secret to living a courageous life? You want to know the secret to going ahead and being able to wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to be courageous? I'm going to take today and the moments that come at me, and I'm going to handle it in a courageous way. Do you know what Joshua starts off with? He says, here's what you have to have. It's not that moment where you run into a burning building and rescue someone. It's not that moment where everybody looks at you and says, wow, we've got to have the right answer at the right time, right now. He says, no, this is where it starts. He says, you need a real fear of God. He says, you want to live a life that's courageous? Here's what he says. Before he talks about, hey, choose you this day who you're going to serve. Before he says, make up your mind, here's what he says. He says, you need to have a real fear of God. Well, what does it mean to go ahead and fear God, as Joshua said in verse number 14? He says, fear the Lord. He just says, if you want a secret on how to go ahead and have a life of courage, one of the things that he says is this, just fear God. Now, that's not fear based on an unhealthy relationship. That's not fear based on this picture of God as being one that is cold and calculated and sitting up in heaven waiting just to go ahead and rain down havoc upon your life. You see, there's a lot of people that have that view of God. A lot of people don't want anything to do with God. They don't want anything to do with church because they think that God is this mean old guy upstairs that just goes ahead and tries to make life difficult on other people. Joshua says, look, I want you to understand you need a healthy fear of God. And it comes down to this. It's a respect. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago we said this? We said that courage isn't the absence of fear. Courage is the mastery of fear. Courage is knowing what to fear and when to fear. And Joshua comes to the people and he says, look, if you want a life that is different, here's where it starts. You want to be able to make a bold choice. You want to be able to live in a bold way for me. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to go ahead and have a real, genuine fear of God. You know, things in Joshua's day are just like they are in our day. Now, somebody would say, John, we're thousands of years removed, and society and everything is so different today. Do you know that in Joshua's day, there were people around him that had different gods? It says, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. He says, what about those gods that you've heard about and you've learned about, or what about the ones that are right in front of you right now? You see, society and culture has always offered other gods and other opportunities to go ahead and fear or respect or to give your life to. And Joshua says, look, here's what it comes down to. If you want to go ahead and live a life that's bold and courageous, here's something I need you to do. I need you to fear the Lord your God, the one that we have been serving, the one that has protected us and has guided us and directed us. I need you to tie your life to him, and I need you to go ahead and fear him more than you fear anything else. But do you know what happened in their day that happens in our day? We're more afraid of what our friends or family or people around us will think rather than we are of what God thinks. Jesus addressed that very thing in the book of Matthew. In Matthew, Jesus tells us something that's pretty practical. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 28, and I'm just going to paraphrase it. Jesus said, look, don't fear those that can only do your body harm. He said, fear the one that takes care of eternity. And many of us go through life, and rather than fearing God, rather than fearing God in a healthy way, to where we have a reverence and a respect for him, we fear the people around us and what we're going to think. We fear the people around us and how they're going to react. Some of us would like to make a bold choice with our life and live for God, but the peer pressure around us is greater than the faith inside of us. The peer pressure around us is greater than the reverence and respect that we have for God. Joshua stands before the people and he says, look, I want you to understand that this is the God who's given us a land that we've never done anything for. He says, there's a harvest from things that we've never sown. There's cities that we're enjoying that we've never built. There's a water supply here that we've never touched and had anything to do with. And he just goes down the list and he says, look, this God has done so much for us, point by point by point by point. He says, why would we want to go ahead and serve anyone else? But he says, you still need to make a choice. He says, be bold. Make a bold choice. Have a reverence. It's a respect. It's the concept of recognizing who he is and what he's done. You see, courage isn't the absence of fear. It's recognizing and believing that God is in control. And then no matter what is going on, we can trust him. It's having a healthy fear of God, knowing that the psalmist was right when he said, the Lord takes pleasure in those that fear him. It's not those that are afraid of him and don't want to get up close to him. It's those that fear him and don't want to get far from him. Not because of what happens to you if you get close to God, but because of what can happen to us when we're away from God. And when we begin to look at our life is much better when we have a reverence and a respect for God and when we're close to him. Yet sometimes in life, things happen, and we ask God, why is this taking place, and what is going on? And we begin to say, this did not turn out like I thought it was going to, or like I expected it to. So we begin to go ahead and distance ourselves from God, and we begin to look at the other gods of society and culture and the people we live amongst, no matter what it is. And we begin to go ahead and go after them. We begin to think, maybe this is okay. Maybe this is what I need. The God of materialism, the God, all of these things have been around. We could stay here for weeks upon weeks and just talk about this. And some of you are going, wow, we don't have weeks. We got like 12 more minutes, right? And then we're done. Well, I wish I could say 12 more minutes and then we're done. Maybe like 20. All right, we'll get there. Here's the reality. There's always something that we could go ahead and begin to take our life and align it under. And Joshua says this, have a fear of God. Just respect God. Don't be careless about God. Don't be casual about God. That doesn't mean you have to be uptight. That doesn't mean that we have to pretend to be something that we're not, to try and impress God. That's not what he's talking about. He just says, have a reverence for God. Treat God with respect. Just know that you can depend upon him. Know that you can go to him. He says, look, you want to live a life that matters? You want to live a life that is courageous? You want to be able to make a bold choice? Be able to go ahead and have that healthy fear of God. Have that respect of God. Because when you have a greater respect for God, that faith in you is greater than the pressure around you, and you're going to be able to go ahead and do the right thing. You're going to be able to make that bold choice. You want to be able to live a courageous life? You want to be able to make the choice to live your life for God and to make it count? It starts with fear of the Lord. Joshua doesn't say, go to seminary. Joshua doesn't say, look, I need you to go ahead and begin to get everything right in life. No, he doesn't tell us that that's the secret. He's going to build on it, but he says right away, look, the first thing is to know that God is the answer. That's what he says when he's saying, fear the Lord. He says, God is the solution. God is the one that we go to, not that we run from. And sometimes in our life, it's easy to be disappointed. It's easy to go ahead and be distracted. It's easy to not have our expectations met. And we think, wow, I need to get away from God because it's not what I thought it was going to be. But Joshua says this, if you want to be courageous, you trust God by listening to his voice. You do what he asks you to do, and you trust him with the outcome, no matter what it might seem like it is at the moment. So Joshua, about 110, stands and says, look, you want to be able to live a life that's courageous? Go ahead and fear God. And then he tells us this with a clear determination. That this is the I will moment for Joshua. It says in verse number 15, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. He says, we're surrounded by choices, but here's what he says. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua gives a clear determination. There's a clear choice. He says, this is my I will moment. Okay? Joshua could have said, I could serve the Lord. Joshua could have said, I should go ahead and serve the Lord. Joshua could have said, I might go ahead and serve the Lord. Joshua doesn't say would have, could have, should. He doesn't say any of those things. Joshua says, this is my I will moment. He says, this is a non-negotiable. I'm going to go ahead and give my life to God. I'm going to go ahead and give my life to him and for him. He says, my example, my legacy, when people think of me, this is what I want them to think of. Someone who didn't talk about what he could have done or what somebody else should be doing. He just says, look, we've all got a choice to make, and I just want you to know, 110 years of age, I'm not turning back. I want you to remember this moment. I'm driving a stake in the ground. This is what I want to be known for. I will serve the Lord. What does that mean? It means it was a personal choice. You see, Joshua said, you need to choose who you're going to live your life for. You need to choose and determine what direction your life is going to go. He says, there's no question for me. For me and my house, this is what we're going to do. I'm making the choice, and this is the example that's going to be there. What would your life look like if you moved away from, well, I really should serve the Lord? What would your life look like if you moved away from, I really should do things God's way, or I really could do things God's way? If you just moved from, I would, or I could, or I should, to I will, what would it look like? You see, for Joshua, this was a defining moment. Because when we think about the book of Joshua, we think about a couple of passages of Scripture. There's 24 passages, there's a lot of history, there's some incredible things that take place, but when people think about Joshua, they think about Joshua chapter 1 and be courageous, and they think about Joshua chapter 24 where Joshua steps up and he says, look, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You go to a bookstore, you look online, you search for plaques or scriptures or canvases or the cutouts that are the vinyl or whatever it might be, you're not going to find a bunch of other passages from Joshua. You're going to find Joshua like 1:6-9 or Joshua 1:9, and you're going to find Joshua 24:15. Why? Because they're defining moments. God said, be courageous. Joshua steps forward and says, look, this is what I'm going to do. Do you know one of the problems that Joshua was surrounded by, and one of the problems that we're surrounded by today, is many of us know that we should live our life for Jesus. Many of us know that we should trust Jesus. Many of us know that we should even ask him to be our Savior. The question is not, do we know that, and do we know that we should? The question is, what are we doing with it? And Joshua said, look, this is my I will moment. And his I will moment was a bold choice. He said, I want to have a bold, courageous life, so I will go ahead and live my life for Jesus. How does he tell us to do that? We go back to verse number 14 real quick. He says, now therefore, fear the Lord. He says, and serve him with sincerity and in truth. Sincerity and in truth. What does sincerity mean? It means without blemish. It means their best continually. Joshua wasn't just saying, hey, I want you to fear the Lord, I want you to serve him, and by the way, I want you to put a little bit of your heart into it. Joshua said this. Joshua said, I want you to go ahead and I want you to serve him with sincerity, which just means I want you to go ahead and offer your very best. You see, it was in their practice, if they were to offer a sacrifice, that they were to offer the best sacrifice that they had. They were to offer one without blemish. Joshua says, look, if you're going to make up your mind to serve God, I want you to take it seriously. He says, this is my I will moment. I am committing to give the God who has taken care of me, I am committing to give him my very best. He says, I want to serve him with sincerity, without blemish. I don't want it to be contaminated. I don't want it to be half-hearted. I don't want it to be done halfway. He says, this is my I will moment. It's my very best. What would happen in your life if you started giving God your very best? What would happen if you begin to say, okay, I want to truly live a courageous life, and I want to make that bold choice to where I'm going to give God my very best. Our lives would look different. Joshua didn't say, hey, this is a leftover moment. He says, no, this is my I will moment with sincerity and in truth. Joshua says, look, I want you to go ahead and say, I will. I want you to say, I'm going to live my life for God in a way that's very practical. He says, this is personal. Would you go ahead and say, I will, with sincerity. Give him your best. But then he says, in truth. He says, I want you to line it up to his way, not yours. He marries together sincerity and truth. He says the two go hand in hand. And what was he saying? He was saying this. I don't want you to go ahead and do things for me because you have to. Because that's truth without sincerity. Right? And I know that we all have moments. We all have moments where life is like that. Can I tell you something? I'm the pastor. And there are Saturday nights that I can't sleep. There are the moments where my alarm goes off. And I think, Lord, I don't want to go to church today. I didn't sleep well last night. It's been an extremely draining week. And I don't have much. I don't want to do this. Well, can I just clue you in on something? I kind of have to. But God never wants me to walk up here and share anything with you because I have to. You see, a lot of people in a lot of places do a lot of things because they have to. And Joshua said, look, I want sincerity and I want truth, which means I want balance. I don't want you doing it because you have to. I want you to give God your very best because you get to. He says, I want you to give God your very best because of all the things that he's done for you. What would your life look like if you began to look back at all the things that God has done? All the things that he's done that you're not even aware of. And you begin to say, you know what? I want to give you my best, not because I have to, but because I get the opportunity to. Puts a different perspective. Joshua says, look, there's got to be a clear determination. But then Joshua tells us, oh, along the way, there's got to be a time where we clean out our heart. Joshua says he's given his best for us, so let's give our best for him. He says there's the need to go ahead and clean out our heart. Verse number 14, he says, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. And he says, serve the Lord. Why did he say that? Why does he say it again in verse number 15? Choose who you're going to serve. Because there's always things that creep into our life. Every one of us has a past. And because of that past, sometimes we have a struggle. And it doesn't matter what your past is or what it's about. God can forgive it and God wants to forgive it. But there's always things that have a tendency to creep back in. And Joshua said, look, there's going to be the temptation for you to turn back to what you used to know. There's going to be the temptation for you to turn back to what was familiar. There's going to be the temptation for you to turn back to what used to be. And he says, here's what I need you to do. I need you to go ahead and maintain a clean heart. As I was reading and preparing some thoughts for this week, a commentator said, it's kind of interesting that he says, put away those gods. And it's all written in the present tense, which just means it's a continual battle. It was a battle for Joshua. It was a battle for those people. And it's a battle for you and I. We can never con ourselves into believing that we always have the answer and we always will do the right thing. Because there's times where we do the wrong thing and we need to come back to God and say, I need a clean heart. Joshua says, my I will moment is marked by a bold choice, but there needs to be some moments along the way where I say, okay, God, I need to put some of these things out of my life. I need to put them away from me. I need to distance myself from them. And some of us have had some I will moments in the past where we've said, God, I'm going to live for you. But somewhere along the way, leading up to this moment that we find ourselves today, there's been some things creep back in, and there's some things that we need to let go of. There's some things that we need to put away from our life. There's a moment where we need to come to the Lord and say, okay, 1 John 1:9 says, "You're faithful and just to cleanse me from all my sin and all my problems." And Lord, I want you to go ahead and forgive me of that now. I need you to help me put that away. When we look at our life, Joshua has this bold moment where he says, you got to make a choice. And that choice starts with fearing the Lord. That choice continues with a clear determination. Along the way, you're going to have a clean heart. It's an ongoing battle. There's always going to be a temptation to give your life to something and someone else. And Joshua says, put it away. Let me ask you today, what's your battle? What's the struggle in your life? Oh, you don't need to respond out loud. You don't need to raise your hand. You don't need to respond in any way like that. Just think about it, because we all have a battle. Joshua says, get it out of there. So the people hear this. Joshua says, fear God. Put it away from you. Serve him with sincerity and truth. He says, look, if you think it's wrong to serve God, then you need to choose who you're going to serve. Don't be in the middle of this. You need an I will moment. This would've, could've, should've stuff isn't cutting it. Let's have an I will moment. Who are you going to serve? So the people answered in verse number 6, and they said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. So they say, Joshua, look, the only thing we could do is go ahead and serve God. They say this in 17. It says, for the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us all the way that we went among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. And then Joshua says to them, you cannot serve the Lord. He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do harm and consume you after he has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Joshua says, who are you going to serve? The people responded and said, we can't help but serve God. Joshua comes back and says, look, this is a moment to be taken seriously. This is nothing to go ahead and joke around with. This is not a, hey, I'm just giving an emotional response. You know what Joshua says? Joshua says, look, there has to be a total reliance. You can't just go ahead and say right now, we're going to go ahead and serve him and be done with it. We go ahead and read verse number 21. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. So Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. And here's what he says. Now therefore, he said, put away the foreign god which are among you. He says, there's still some things you need to take care of. There's still some things you need to get rid of. And he says, incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. It was a total reliance. You see, we try and live courageously. We try and say, man, I want to live a life that's bold for God. I want to do something for him. But then instead of being serious about him, we want to go ahead and do what we want to do at this moment. And then over here, we'll go ahead and do what God wants us to do. And we have this battle going on, and we have this struggle going on as to whose voice we're going to listen to and which direction we're going to head in life. God told Joshua, he says, I need you to listen to my voice. I need you to arise and go. And I need you to leave the consequences to me, because I will take care of things. Joshua stands before the people and says, look, you need to decide who you're going to listen to. Are you going to listen to the voice of God, or are you going to listen to all the other voices that culture is throwing at you? Then he says this, are you going to be willing to go where he tells you to go? Are you going to be willing to do what he tells you to do? He says, this isn't anything to be taken lightly. And then he says, are you going to go ahead and trust him with the outcome? The people thought about it for a minute. They said, yeah, we're ready. And Joshua says, no, this isn't to be taken lightly. He says, we have to make a bold choice. He says, it's a bold thing for us to say, I am going to listen to the voice of God and follow his plan for my life. And today, we need to make a bold choice. We need to have an I will moment. We need to determine who we're going to live our life for. We need to determine who we are going to serve. Are we going to serve the God who gave his son for us so that we might know eternal life? Are we going to give our life to him? Will we say, I will to that? Or are we going to go ahead and say, I will to the things that we feel like saying, I will too? You see, the choice belongs to you. Joshua told the people, I can't make the choice for you. You have to make the choice. And today, as we conclude the series, Be Courageous, I would encourage you to move from I should or I could to I will, and let today be an I will moment in your life where you say, okay, God, I will listen to your voice. I will go ahead and arise and do what you ask me to do, and I will leave the outcome to you. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? In just a moment, we're going to have a time where we can respond together today. Maybe you're here today and you would say, John, you've talked about following God. You've talked about being courageous. But quite honestly, I don't know much about God. I don't know much about Jesus, but I would like to know a little bit more. I kind of feel like I got to want to on the inside to know a little bit more about him. If that's you, in just a moment, we're going to have a time where you can just leave your place and come. Everybody will have their heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to sing a song. Nobody's going to be looking at you or wondering what you're doing. But there'll be people right up here that'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for certain that God loves you and that God has a plan for your life. Maybe today you would like to know a little bit more about that. We would invite you to come. Maybe you're here today and you look at your life and you say, look, John, quite honestly, I've got some moments in my life where I'm listening to the voice of God and I'm saying, I will, and I do it, but then there's that struggle and I kind of back away from it. Then I get going again, and then there's another struggle and I back away from it. And maybe today you just say, I want this to be my I will moment. I want to make a bold choice that I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to listen to God's voice for every area of my life. I'm going to do what he wants me to do. I'm going to live life his way. Maybe that's you today. Maybe there's something else going on in your life that we've not even talked about that you just want to come and pray about. Whatever your need might be, I want you to know that we're here to pray with you and to pray for you. If you want to know more about Jesus and who he is and the plan that he has for your life, I encourage you to step out and come. If you want to come and pray about other things, I just encourage you to do that. Would you stand with me, please? If you know the words to the song, I invite you to sing it. If you want to come, I invite you to come.